to the Kingdom of God Faith. And today we're going to talk about, I've entitled this, Increase Your Faith. Increase Your Faith. Point to your neighbor and tell them, increase your faith. Increase your faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5, scripture says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And so we're going to see what the Lord did, why the apostles asked the Lord this question, or this asked the Lord, made this request. Why did they ask him, increase our faith? And what the Lord's response was, what his response was. Did he do that? Did he lay hands on them and increase their faith? What did the Lord respond? How was his response? All right. So the desire for an increase in faith is a common one. In this room here, I'm sure all of us would like to have more faith. Isn't that so? And I've been in many prayer meetings where people have prayed this prayer, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith, hoping that God will miraculously answer that prayer and that one day they will be able to constantly walk in a great level of faith and amazingly God answered their prayer. Hallelujah. But the reality is that whilst most people want more faith, and this is a noble desire, God does not answer this kind of prayer the way people would expect him to or want him to, per se. The correct way, I think, to pray this kind of desire would be really, Lord, help me to increase my faith, or Lord, empower me with grace so that I can increase my faith or grow in faith. But in terms of God increasing your faith one day where your faith level will continuously be at a high level, for that to happen, there is something that we need to do. So pray for more faith with the hope that suddenly we will be consistently walking in a greater dimension of faith is wishful thinking. Sorry to say that. There is such a thing in the scripture as the gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith is a different dynamic where the Holy Spirit supernaturally anoints a person with faith at a given point in time for a specific reason. And in that context, the level of faith that is exercised by the individual will be far beyond what they're normally used to. It's called the gift of faith. And it's a manifestation of the Spirit outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verses 7 to 11. In verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit or the benefit of all. And in verse 9, as he lists it, he says to another, faith by the same Spirit. And so the gift of faith is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But that is not the same as faith that the Scriptures encourage us to walk in. So, for instance, when the Scripture says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is not talking about the gift of faith in this context, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, he says that the Spirit gives to each one this gift as he wills. So the gift of faith in this context is not something that we, out of our own volition, can exercise. It is a supernatural anointing of faith. It is actually where, at that point in time, it is impossible to doubt. It's impossible to doubt. Now, in my journey with the Lord, I've experienced this anointing a few times. Not a lot, a few times. And in those contexts, you literally feel invincible. When you're faced with whatever it is, you feel invincible because you're emptied of doubt. And so when you exercise faith, you know without a doubt that the outcome is as you see it. And indeed, it is as you see it. It happens. And there are a few wonderful testimonies that we could give, but we don't have time for that. So the gift of faith is the kind of faith that can withstand any given situation because it is a complete emptying of doubt. But it is faith based on the word of God that the Holy Spirit himself has injected in our spirit at that time. And it is not something that you or I can just turn on and off. And that is why when the Bible talks about having faith, he's not talking about the gift of faith, because this is not faith of our initiative, it's of the Spirit's initiative. Now, the reason why this is important for us to differentiate is because when the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith, he then went on to teach them about faith in a way that the responsibility was not on God, but was on them. So increasing our faith means we have to work on it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the scripture says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So every born-again believer has been given by God a measure of faith for them to exercise. Now, we've been teaching a lot about faith, so I don't want to really go back on some of the basic foundations. I encourage you to go on my YouTube channel and type my name, Joseph Boyd, on YouTube, and you'll be able to hear all the messages on faith that we've been teaching. Hallelujah. I don't know why you're laughing. I'm directing you to do something that will help your life. Hallelujah. Yeah, so everyone has been given a measure of faith as a child of God. And it is something wonderful that you have been given. James chapter 1:17, he says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." In other words, every good gift that God has given, including faith, is something that is tailor-made for you, designed to empower you in what God has ordained for you and for your life. So anything that comes your way, God has already given you this wonderful gift, faith, a measure of faith, tailor-made for your life. So there is no challenge that comes our way that we don't have the potential to deal with effectively. There is no challenge. And remember, in God's kingdom, every privilege is accessed by faith. There is nothing in God's kingdom that you can experience, enjoy, and reciprocate back to God or minister to others that can be done outside of faith. This includes loving people. This includes serving people. If it's not done in faith, you become disillusioned. You will take your eyes off God and you look at people as you serve them. Why don't they even appreciate what we do? After all, we practice for how long? And then they just change the thing. Just like that. Under the leading of the Holy Ghost, though. Hallelujah. It's not my fault if you've practiced 10 hours and then he leads in a different way. The practice is for another day. Don't worry. Hallelujah. We went off there. Let's go back to faith. So this kind of faith that I'm referring to, where God has given us a measure, is what is commonly referred to as working faith or developing faith. Faith that you work on, that you utilize, that you develop over time. So for instance, when I first gave my life to the Lord over 37 years ago, when I was 1 year old, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, the measure of faith that I was given is the same measure that has developed over the years. Now, there were things that I could believe in God's word at that time, or there are many things that I believe today that at that time I couldn't believe. I didn't have the capacity or the understanding or the knowledge to believe. And so I couldn't walk in the reality of it. I remember as a young Christian wishing, hoping that somehow one day I would be able to hear God speak to me. Because I would hear people talk about God spoke to them. I think, wow, Moses has arrived. Elijah is here. God is speaking to these people. You know, but of course, over the years, we are used to hearing the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and giving it back. We're used to walking in revelation, but we have learned to do it by faith. I remember as a young believer, hoping, oh God, one day, could you just use me to minister healing someone? Imagine if I laid my hands on someone and they were healed. And it was like a dream, a fantasy. And of course, since those days, we've seen many, many healed within the grace of God, supernaturally. Many, many, many times. Many, many, many times. So it is because the faith, that measure that was given over the years has developed. And God has given you that measure for you to use. Faith is like a muscle. If you put it to use, it will grow and become stronger. But if you do not use it, it will become weaker and sometimes it can wither and atrophy. So it becomes useless. So it's there, but it is useless. And this is what happens to a lot of Christians. They've been in the faith for many years, but their faith is not evident by their works. You show your faith by the works of faith. We do not do works to earn salvation. We do works because we are saved. And our faith is the testimony of the reality of what we've experienced, the demonstration of our faith, our works, so to speak. So if you want to see your faith, look at your works. If you want to see your faith, look at your works. The things that you've done. And I'm here to encourage you to increase your faith. Because it is through your faith that you'll be able to access all the amazing privileges that we have in the kingdom of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, he says, verses 2 to 4, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine nature has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption of that is in the world through lust. So what he's telling us is this, is that as we grow in our knowledge, our revelation of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, as we grow in our knowledge, in revelation of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, our level of grace and peace is multiplied. The more you get to know God, the more you get to know our Lord Jesus Christ, the greater liberty you experience in life, and the greater grace, empowerment that you don't deserve, virtues that you don't deserve, the more of that you will see evident in your life. Because grace is God's undeserved or unmerited favor. And it expresses itself in favor in terms of the virtues of God, like love, like joy, like peace, in terms of the blessings of God, like even natural blessings, material blessings, and in terms of the resource of God, in terms of what you need from God to do the things that he wants you to do. As you grow in the knowledge of God, and as you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace that is necessary and the peace that you need, because in life the challenges, they get more and more as you go older, and as you have more responsibility, you face more complexity. And if you don't have peace, you go mad. It's just, that's how it is. You know, because at times, some of the things, all kinds of complexities comes to my table, but they don't face because of the grace and the peace that is multiplied through our Lord Jesus. Now, all of this can only be accessed by faith. It is by faith that we grow in grace, and it is by faith that we multiply in the knowledge of God, and it is by faith that we grow in peace. Yeah, faith is powerful, it's very important. So we need to develop our faith. We need to develop our faith. Our faith must mature, it must develop so that it can be useful to us in whatever circumstance we face. Now, our Lord Jesus had a tremendous expectation on the disciples before they were baptized with the Holy Spirit when it came to the arena of faith. I find this very interesting. And you will find there are five occasions that I have identified in Scripture where our Lord expected the believers, the disciples, his disciples, to exercise faith and deal with the challenge they were facing. Now, I just highlight what these challenges looked like. And what that tells us is this. These were saints that were under Old Testament at that time. And yet he had this expectation on them when it came to faith. So if under the Old Covenant, they could walk in a level of faith that Jesus expected them to walk in, how much more in the New Covenant that we're in today? So here are some of the examples that the Lord expected his disciples to have faith to face with, to face the challenge that they were facing and to be able to deal with it. Number one, when they faced the challenge of having their legitimate needs met, legitimate needs like what to wear, what to eat, what to drink, etc. Your natural legitimate needs. You see this in Matthew chapter 6. And I want to highlight verse 28 to 30. So he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Now this is on the backdrop of some of the things he had already highlighted. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The implication there is this. He expects us to be able to believe him for our clothing. And you read later on, he talks about what we eat and what we wear. He expects us to be able to believe him for that. The second thing he expected his disciples to believe him for is when faced with the challenge of a dangerous situation, He expected them, when faced with danger, to be able to exercise faith and deal with it. Let's look at it. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 26, it says, now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest or storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And later on they said, wow, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? A man. This is a man. The Son of God, but a man. That the winds and the waves obey. That he expected them to be able to do. So when he rebuked the winds and the waves, when he rebuked them for not having faith, and then he dealt with it, he expected them, having walked with him for a while, to be able to deal with it. The Lord doesn't say anything for just speaking sake. Not like us. Not like some of us. He expected them, when they were faced with that storm, to be able to know that everything will be okay. Because in another place, he had said, let us go to the other side. He had already told them they're going to the other side. And beloved, this is why you must learn to identify what God says to you before you face a challenge. Listen, every time you receive prophetic utterances over your life, when you know God has spoken through whatever vessel, you must take that seriously. Because those words are given to you to prepare you for what is ahead. So that when you are dealing, when you're faced with a challenge, your faith doesn't fail. Because the enemy is after your faith. The enemy is after your faith. The Lord said to Simon Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, to strengthen your brethren. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Not that you will not face the situation. But that your faith will not fail when you face the situation. Say to your neighbor, increase your faith. Yeah. The third example is when facing an impossible situation. So we deal with legitimate needs. Then we deal with danger. Now we're dealing with an impossible situation. He expected them to exercise their faith. This is when Peter began to sink on water, as he walked on water. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14 from verses 28 to 32. Now this is where the Lord was walking on the water and Peter sees him and he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, our Lord said, come. That was the word, come. I like the word of God, you know. It wasn't, okay, Pete, yeah, it's me. So come on, take a step, come. No, it's just one way, come. See, God doesn't play with words, unlike us at times. And that's why many times, sometimes people come to me and they say, God said this to me, or God showed me this in a dream. And I say, what exactly did you see? What exactly did you hear? Because sometimes after I hear what they said God said in their dream and what they think it means completely different. Because they don't even know how to discern what they are hearing. So God doesn't mean so. So he said, come. Look at what happens. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What? You see, the word of God, when you obey it, will cause you to do the impossible. Yeah, the word of God, not the word of your pastor or the word of your church or the word of your friend or the word of a superstar. The word of God. When you obey it, it will cause you to do the impossible. Now, verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. So as he walked on water, there was all kinds of things going on. And so, naturally speaking, it freaked him. I remember many years ago, there was a guy, we had come out of a meeting, and this guy came up to me and Austin and began to say, I'm going to smash your head, I'm going to do this. And at that time, at that instant, I had the gift of faith operating. And I looked at him, I said, you cannot touch me. So the guy swung the bottle. And then as he swung the bottle the third time, I looked at what he was doing. And I thought, this is lunacy. So as the bottle came the third time, I went, then I said, in the name of Jesus, sit down. And they're like, okay. And sat down. I thought, all right, there's some authority here. Hallelujah. But you see, at that split second, I looked at what was going on and I took my eyes off the word of the Lord, which says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon. Every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. There are all kinds of words in the scripture. You have authority. These signs follow those who believe. In my name, they cast out demons. So as a young believer, once I saw that scripture, no devil, as soon as I saw the thing was a demon, I know I've got you. I don't care how big they were. The minute I descend, this is not human spirit. Human spirit is different. Humans, you're very powerful. Demons, easy. Human, difficult. As soon as I notice a demon, I say, you have got you. I rebuke in Jesus' name. Sit down. You have to obey. Yes. That's our authority. So when he saw that the winds were boisterous, he took his eyes off what God said, and he began to sing. And that's what happens to many of us. God gives us a word we know is the word of God, but rather than focusing on what God has said in the scriptures and through what he said to us through his word, prophetically or whatever, we get our eyes off God and we look at the circumstance and we begin to sing. I pray from today your faith will develop where you will no longer look at your circumstances. In Jesus' name. And immediately, oh, thank God for Jesus. You see, when you begin to sing, he's there though. When your faith is failing, he's still there. Oh, hallelujah. When your faith is failing, he's still there. He says, immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Say to your neighbor, don't doubt. Say to your neighbor, do not doubt. Yeah. Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith, or you of little bursts of faith. You see, he exercised faith, but it wasn't consistent. He had a burst. I pray that your faith will not be in bursts, but it will be consistent. Hallelujah. The next example is when facing the challenge of an immediate need. This is when the disciples had no bread and Jesus used it to teach them the word of God. Now, sometimes when you're going through challenges, difficulties, and you're faced with a need, it is very easy to interpret the word of God through the lens of your need. This is what the disciples did. It says in Matthew chapter 16 from verse 5. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, the only reason why this guy is talking about that is because we have not taken no bread. Can you imagine the insult? Jesus is teaching you, and you're saying he's hungry. That's why he's talking. What an insult. Because they were interpreting God's word with the fact that they were faced with a need. And they were saying that the only reason why you're saying this is because there is a need. And you know, at times when we are faced with needs, we interpret God's word through our need. Oh, you know, this is not about scripture. This is about this situation. It's not about being a Christian. It's about this situation. I know what the Bible says, but you don't know what I'm going through. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you of little faith. There it is again. Why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? In other words, what you think, because I'm hungry and I want something of you, that's why I'm asking you to do this? Let me tell you something. Anything that God requires of us to do, whether it's in giving, whether it's in loving people, whether it's in serving in his house, whether it's in helping others, whether it's in loving our spouse or our children, anything that God requires of us to do is not for his sake, it's for our sake. It's for your sake. It's for my sake. When he's asking of us things, it's for our sake. And he says this, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? In other words, listen, if it's bread, I, your God, I can supply anything you need. But there are things far more important than your immediate need, and that is the word of God. What God has to say about your situation. Beloved, you must learn to identify the word of God concerning your situation. Whatever context you're faced with, learn to identify what the scriptures teach about it. Because when you do that, in that is your safety. In that, your faith, when you anchor your faith in what the word of God teaches, that need will be met way beyond your expectation. Hallelujah. The last example is when facing the challenge of ministering to another person in need. And this is when the disciples were unable to cast out a demon in a young boy. In Matthew chapter 17, from verses 14 to 18, it says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, he was rebuking his disciples, because later on they came to him and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. That's why you couldn't cast it out. So they were the faithless and wicked, perverse generation he was referring to. Beloved, when we live in unbelief, we disqualify ourselves, or we class ourselves in the perverse and faithless category. It's not what you want. When you live in unbelief, you class yourself under the perverse and faithless category. These were disciples that were walking with Jesus. And yet he refers to them as faithless and perverse because they were living in unbelief. Learn to identify what God's word says and believe it. Because you're not crooked. You're not perverse. You're not faithless. You're a child of God. Said you're a child of God. Said you're a child of God. Hallelujah. So the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. Let's come back to it. Luke chapter 17 from 1 to 10. It's a long read, but at least for some of us, like I say, we get to read the Bible once a week. Luke 17 from verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and you were thrown into the sea, then that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and after it you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Hallelujah. Now, these verses, I break them down in three categories. They highlight three key things. The first one, verses 1 to 4, highlights the greatest challenge to our faith. The greatest challenge to your faith is offense. It's offense. When somebody does something that hurts you, that is the greatest challenge to your faith. Why? Because the only accurate response to offense is forgiveness. And forgiveness is the highest expression of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The cross is about forgiveness. So the highest level of love that we can exhibit to others is by forgiving them when they offend us. So our Lord talks about offense. And then the response of the disciples is verse 5, the second category, the request for an increase in faith. Now, why do you think they said increase our faith? Because their immediate response to what the Lord was teaching was that this is impossible. If your brother offends you, forgive them. If they come and say, rebuke them. Let me read it again before I paraphrase, I misquote it. He says, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And then in another place, he says, if he comes 70 times 7 and he asks you to forgive, you will forgive them. So it's like the whole thing about forgiveness, they were thinking, this is too much. Increase our faith. Who can do this? Have you felt like that when people offend you? Lord, increase my faith for my husband. Especially in spousal relationships, for my wife. For my husband, for my wife. There's a lot of pretend. Listen, let's do a little bit of marriage counseling. There's a lot of pretending that goes on amongst couples. They don't talk to each other at home. But the minute they step out and they see our people, they know, oh, hey, honey. This is why the scriptures teach that mountain-moving faith without love is meaningless. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, he says, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. So, the greatest challenge to faith is offense. Then the third element is, the Lord highlights the dynamics of faith. This scripture highlights is the dynamics surrounding faith. Now, the Lord did not, when they said increase our faith, he did not let them off the hook. Rather, he goes them to teach them what their faith could do if they permitted it. What your faith can do for you if you allow it. In other words, he's teaching about faith is what he expects the disciples to do, because he said, increase our faith. So here it is. If you want to increase your faith, you have to learn about faith. Because their request was, Lord, increase our faith. And what does he do? He teaches them about faith. He teaches them about faith, showing you that this is how You grow in faith by learning about faith. Why? Because Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way your faith will increase is as you learn and learn and learn and learn about faith. And as you learn about faith and you exercise it, your faith will grow. Now, as our Lord teaches, we can observe the following, that faith develops from addressing difficult challenges to addressing impossible challenges. So in verse 6, he said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed analogy is simply to show us that your faith, faith does not work according to size. It works once it is mature. So whether you have a mustard seed or an orange seed or an avocado seed, if the thing is matured, it will work. So if you're a new Christian and your faith is mature, it will work. If you've been a veteran in the thing, in the faith, and it's mature, it will work. If it's not mature, you've been there for 55 years. You are still a baby when it comes to faith. We see that a lot in the ministry. People have been in the ministry for years, but they can't walk in faith. They can't pray. They can't lay hands on the sick and they recover. They can't speak in tongues. They're still debating whether it's for them. Come on. We should grow up. I mean, seriously. We did that when we were new Christians. We were arguing. This is not for us. The gifts is not for us. When we're new Christians, after 30 years, are you joking? Read your Bible properly. Honestly. No offense intended. No offense intended. These signs shall follow them that believe. Believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. Do a few casting out. Oh, hallelujah. It's about time you did some casting out. You've been in church for too long. Ah! These are real things. We deal with, listen, in the counseling room, when people come for counseling, we deal with real things. We cast out demons out of them. We move in words of knowledge. We move in revelation. When they come for counseling, some of you, you know. It's no joke. We move in the power of God. We move in tongues and interpretation. Yes. We exercise the gifts. And it works. Yeah. Been in the church for how long? You're still debating about saved and one saved and some saved and some are not saved. I mean, these are things we should do. New Christians debated, yeah. Been in the Lord for 5 years debating. Maybe even 10 years we can allow it. But 25 years, you're still there? Come on. Grow up. Are you still here? Have you gone home? Faith develops from addressing difficult situations to addressing the impossible. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted, be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. To have a mulberry tree uprooted is difficult. It's not impossible. But to have it live in the sea, that's impossible because the sea is not its natural habitat. And yet, your faith can cause things to happen that are both difficult and impossible once it's mature. Then the next thing about faith as it develops is this. It becomes your servant. So verses 7 to 9, when he's talking about a servant and how a servant serves, it's not removed from everything else he's teaching about faith. He's saying to you, that just as your faith, once it's developed, can do the impossible, also it can act as your servant that serves you at your beck and call like a servant does. So if you say, cook for me, it cooks for you, do this, it does that. When faith has matured, you can operate at will what it's needed. That's why he warns us in 1 Corinthians 13 that our faith must be exercised with love. Because you can move mountains. Once your faith is matured, you can do amazing things from a wrong place because your faith is matured. And your motivation can be wrong. And that's why he tells us that in Christ Jesus, it's faith that works by love. That's what counts. Yeah. And then the last part of this narrative about faith is this, is that not only does developed faith become a servant, but those who walk in this kind of faith demonstrate servanthood as disciples of Christ. So he says this, after you are operating in this level of faith, Don't see yourself as anything special. See yourself as an unprofitable servant. You've done what is expected. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. The problem we have today is that very few of us are focused this way. So I encourage you to increase your faith. And I conclude with how you increase your faith. Very simple. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You increase your faith when you intentionally are hearing, understanding, and believing God's word. It's that simple. You see, one cannot exercise their faith beyond their level of knowledge and understanding. You can't. So as your level of knowledge and understanding grows in the area of faith, so your faith grows. That's how it works. Faith comes by hearing. In other words, it's the sense of hearing something to the point where you understand. And hearing by the word of God. In other words, your ability to hear and understand the word of God also comes through the word of God. So you hear and understand by the word of God, and you grow in your understanding and your ability to discern what the scriptures say through the word. As you grow in your faith and in your understanding of God's word, you will be able to learn how to divide line upon line, precept upon precept. No, this is God's word says this about this, therefore this cannot be this. God's word says this about that, therefore this has to be this. God's word says this, God's word says that. God's word, you rightly divide the word of truth. You rightly divide the word of truth. That's why you don't get hung up in one camp. I'm a Calvinist. I'm an Arminianist. I believe in speaking tongues. I don't believe in speaking tongues. You don't get hung up in a camp because you use the word. I believe in tithing. I don't believe in tithing. I believe in giving. I don't care who I give to. I don't give. Once we allow ourselves to be hearing faith, faith-filled words, it's just a matter of time before those words enter our spirit and transform us. Like Ezekiel 2:2. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. As you hear the word, keep hearing it, the Spirit of God that is in that word will enter your spirit and begin to affect you. I've learned this secret many years. Many years when I struggle to pray, I will put on people who can pray, and I'll listen to teachings on prayer. And even sometimes as they are praying, and as I'm listening, that thing will enter into me. And then I will begin. I'll just stop it there and start praying. Oh, Jesus, glory. Lord, because the Spirit has entered. When we wanted to learn about the gifts of the Spirit, that's how we did it. We listened to those who taught about it. We kept listening. And then the thing entered us. And then we began to see it operate. When we wanted to cast out demons, it's the same thing. I went on demon casting out courses. Yes, there are many great ones. Went on them. But I didn't know how to do it. I've been screaming at people, come out, you devil, come out, come out. And nothing, they just kept looking at me. So I went on courses and sat under the feet of those who knew what they were doing. I remember I see this old lady, no disrespect to old lady, sorry. And they'll say, no, you come out now. You're coming out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. And they'll come out. What? Young man say, you come out, you're coming, Mr. Devil. You're coming out. I'm not coming anywhere. I'm not coming. And some old lady, now you're coming out now. Go on, out you go. Out you go. Now go on, out you go. And I'm like, what? Wow. I need to learn. Yeah. I need to learn. Oh, hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, increase your faith. We're going to pray. This is a wonderful year we have ahead of us. Kingdom impact. I encourage you, let your faith grow. Feed on faith-filled words. So those of us that are on this journey, and we are saying, yes, Lord, thank you for your word. We receive it. We want to seal it with agreement. Why don't you stand where you are right now? As you stand, I'm going to pray over you. Libro sabaya. Lift your hands and begin to thank God for his word as it's affected you. Raise your hands to him and thank him for his word as it's affected you. Thank you, Holy Father. Just thank him. Lift your hands and thank him. Respond. Those of you online, do the same. Respond to the word as it's affected you. Thank you, Holy Father. Libra sibra kato res de leti istamaya. Thank you for your word. Your word transforms. Your word transforms. Lord, I pray that as we hear your word, the spirit of faith will enter into us. That more and more our spirits will be stirred. Our hearts, our minds will be focused, Lord, in the direction that you want us to exercise faith. I pray for a revelation to come upon everyone in this room and those listening to the sound of my voice, the spirit of revelation in the area of faith and in the area of faith that they must focus on for their life and for this year and the years ahead. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon those that are standing and those whose hearts are open to your word. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you may be seated. All right, we're going to change the order of service. And we're going to pray over the eldership of our church in Greenwich and Croydon. There's one eldership team that oversees the two congregations. And so we're going to pray over you. I feel it in my spirit that we need to do it as a church. As we've planted out the last 2 years, as we've planted out as well,